Hey, finance folk. I think the EU undersells itself. No, I take that back. I don't think that. I know that. The European Union has the overly polite habit of not bragging about itself. Come on, it's sui generis. Who doesn't like that? It's a really, really good thing. It brings good things to something like 500 million people directly and countless others outside the EU. But it's awfully quiet about its accomplishments. It's like it does do great things for people and keeps hoping everyone sees it. For example, the EU doesn't trumpet about being the biggest humanitarian aid donor in the world. It doesn't brag about being the biggest international development aid donor this world has ever seen either. So what's the problem? Why does the EU play itself down when the rest of the world is busy trying to find ways to play themselves up? Maybe it's the ingrained European feeling of politeness that one shouldn't brag about one's good deeds. Why isn't the EU tooting its own horn? Fine. Now let's talk money. Money is numbers. The EU's really good at money and super good at numbers. The EU is, correct me if I'm wrong, a safe haven for investment. We're one of two markets in the world where you know your money isn't going to evaporate. It's the stable partner. You know, the one who sticks by you. Governments borrow. The EU borrows. It borrows to get stuff done. Some investments are better than others, while others are pretty risky. I've always looked at the EU as one of the best bets I have ever made. It hasn't let me down yet. Let's check out the EU as a borrower. I've asked Niall Bowen, who works for the EU Commission's Directorate General for Budget, to join me. He's the director in charge of borrowing and lending. But more importantly, he used to work for us, for DG FISMA, what I like to call the Ministry of Finance of the EU. So he's cool. He's going to walk me through how the EU issues debt, how our bonds, EU bonds, work, why they work, and why they're a good idea. Hi, Niall. Welcome to the podcast. Let's jump right into it. What are EU bonds?
Good morning, Idis. EU bonds are the EU equivalent of what member states have been doing for centuries to finance their government expenditures. Essentially, we are borrowing money in capital markets from investors to finance current expenditure. In short, we're basically taking money from investors that trust us with the promise that we will repay when the bond expires in 3 or 30 years' time. And each year, the investor is also entitled to receive a coupon payment or an interest payment to keep them, you know, so they earn income on what they've entrusted us with. So that in a nutshell is what it is. Just we're writing IOUs to get money from cash-rich investors to spend on current priorities.
Understood. Okay. You said this has been going on for centuries. Well, how much has the EU issued?
Right. Obviously, we haven't been around for centuries, and we've been issuing for about 40 years, but in very small amounts. When I took over this job at the start of 2020, we had issued about 50 billion outstanding. Since October 2020, we have issued a further 350 billion. So we've just moved to a different scale, a mm-hmm. different trajectory. So we now have about 400 billion euro in debt outstanding, issued through 75 securities. So we're pretty much issuing annually the equivalent of what Spain is issuing, just behind Germany, Italy, France, fourth, fifth placed sovereign issuer in the EU. And that's been a remarkable turnaround compared to the 500 million euros that we issued in 2019. So that's it's been quite a journey from there to here.
Yeah. I'm guessing that this isn't just some sort of wacky EU spending spree for just for giggles. It's probably because related to COVID and to the food and financial crisis that has been exacerbated or caused by Russia's aggression against Ukraine. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. What has happened here in the last couple of years is that Europe has been hit by this succession of crises. First, the pandemic, then the Ukraine invasion and the energy crisis. So I think here the EU has been able to step up to respond to these challenges precisely because it has been able to use this new funding mechanism, debt issuance on a large scale. to finance EU public goods. In this case, stabilization of the EU faced with the pandemic, keeping people in jobs, temporary employment support, and then funding the climate transition through the Next Generation EU. And now, more recently, financial assistance to Ukraine. That's what we're borrowing, $20 billion this year to finance Ukraine.
How safe are EU bonds? Is this a good investment? Is this something that I should tell my grandparents? Well, God bless them, God rest their souls, or my parents to invest in? Or
look, it's backed by a cast iron guarantee from the EU budget. So we are issuing these IOUs and the promise to repay the money on at maturity to the investor is underpinned, copper fastened, by the fact that the union budget is there. Mm-hmm. There are amounts baked into the budget to allow us to repay the debt when it comes due, and member states are ultimately committed on the hook to provide us with the own resource needed to repay this debt. So we are AAA rated. Mm-hmm. That rating is, you know, we're right up there with Austria, Germany, Netherlands. That rating has been reaffirmed recently by Moody's, by Fitch, so on and so forth. So, and that is a huge strength for the EU in financing what we have to bring to market, and ensures that investors are really invested in the project, in the program.
Mm-hmm. You've already mentioned a couple of things that are financed by the EU bonds, but I want to ask specifically, you know, so in a nutshell, what are the main things that are financed by EU bonds?
Since 2020, what have we done? 100 billion euros for sure, which was the temporary employment support scheme. So we borrowed, we transferred 100 billion to 18 member states.
So this was during the COVID crisis?
This was end of 20 to the start of 22. That worked well. So we in DG Budge thought we could dial up the scale ambition and put that to work in the recovery plan. And now we're borrowing up to 800 billion euros, so 5-7% of EU GDP over the period to 26, 150 billion a year to finance ORF grants to member states, ORF loans, top up for EU cohesion policies and structural funds. So this is the mainstay of what we do. And that's the backbone of all the issuance is the Next Generation EU. You've all seen the posters on the side of the Berlin Wall. And all of that is possible because we can now issue this debt on this scale with this regularity and keep investors can't get enough of this paper. And then more recently, we've started funding Ukraine financial assistance. Member states realize are cash strapped. Mm-hmm. The EU budget has reached the limits of its flexibilities. So having the ability to turn to bond issuance to respond to crises has really been a godsend in the recent times.
You just mentioned something that struck a chord. You said investors can't get enough of this, and also earlier you mentioned that you know, we're up there with Germany. I mean, like, you know, whenever you think about European bonds, or whenever investors think about European bonds, of course they think about Germany as being a sort of a safe haven. Am I right? Yes. So, what's the added value of issuing EU bonds? Why doesn't the EU just have the member states issue bonds, like, you know, piggyback on Germany, as it were? What's the point of the EU doing it itself?
Well, there are three elements to this. So the first is I don't think the German taxpayer or the German sovereign can assume debt on behalf of the collectivity of EU member states. Secondly, there are collective goods, and we've seen that collective public goods, European values, European policies, and we see those very much the Green Deal, Ukraine support, where the EU27 as a bloc wishes to respond together, and EU bond issuance allows us to mobilize those funds, where each member state is assigned a pro rata share of the debt and will take care of its GNI share of the repayment in due course. So it's a very clear, transparent, effective budgetary mechanism. And then final point is some lending we do to third countries or EU member states instead of them. So we step into the market instead of, in the past, Portugal and Ireland during the global financial crisis. we borrowed instead of them because they were shut out of the market or could only borrow at exorbitant rates. Whereas we had a triple A rating, we could substitute ourselves for them, borrow more cheaply, and transfer to those terms onto them. And that has proved to be a very attractive proposition. It's reflected in the fact that 18 member states wanted sure loans from us on precisely these terms. A lot of member states want ORF loans from us. It's also how we help third countries such as Ukraine, Moldova, North Macedonia, others with financial assistance. So I think there are many good reasons why EU bond issuance makes sense to have this string in the EU's bow, and I think it has proven its worth in particularly in the last couple of years.
Speaking of worth, how has this bond issuance program weathered the interest rate spike and the general financial turmoil that we've got going on?
Yeah, when we started the issuance back in October 20 with the sure bonds and then launched the next generation EU, built a new infrastructure for that, it was a bit of a honeymoon period for us as an issuer. Interest rates were super low due to quantitative easing the stage of the economic monetary cycle we were at. That has changed dramatically in the past 18 months. Our interest rates have increased by over 3%, which for anybody listening who knows financial markets, this is black swan event. This is really off the scale. That interest rate rise has been common to every issuer, be they Germany, a sovereign, be they any other sovereign, banks, corporates, anybody raising money through debt issuance is faced with these steeper rates. We haven't been immune to that, nowhere to hide. So our rates have increased. They've increased slightly more than France and Germany for technical reasons, nothing to do with the fundamentals of our issuance program. We're a very liquid, highly rated, regular issuer. But for historical reasons, the pricing of our bonds includes a premium compared to the sovereigns, which we're trying to address over the course of this year or next. But there's just purely technical reasons why there's a small wedge for us to France and Germany, for example. But globally, what we see, slight higher prices, but continued huge investor interest in our bonds. All our bond issuance this year has been, investors have wanted 11 times more of the paper than we have been able to, or that we have needed to print. So this oversubscription by investors has remained really, really strong, which is a very clear sign that investors trust this paper, trust the EU as an issuer.
Okay, so that leads me to two questions. First is, who are those investors? Who are the buyers of these EU bonds? And the second is more of a technical question of how does it work? How are EU bonds issued and how are they disbursed?
Yeah, the investors, there's over 1,000 of them scattered across 70 countries at this stage. But the bulk of our investors are European. And that focus or the strong European dimension of our issuance, I think, is understandable. European investors really get what this program is financing. They understand the values behind it, and they're fully on board with this. We have a lot of official sector institutions from Asia looking for currency or to invest their reserves, currency reserves, in a diversified way, move out of dollar and euro is useful for them. So they're about 7-8% of our investor base as well. So it's a wide geographical mix, but largely EU driven. In terms of who buys it, it's a lot of pension and insurance companies, long term investors who particularly interested in our green bonds. We have a lot of banks, bank treasuries, and the official sector, as I said. But 50% would be the asset managers, pension funds, insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm guessing that's how a retail investor would get a piece of the action, would be through funds, right? There isn't any way for, like me, I mean, how in the movies there's, especially in American movies, there's like in the safe, there's treasury bonds that people pull out and there's a big stack of them and they rob that and run away. Is there such a thing in EU bonds? I mean, can I buy a certificate that shows that I've got a piece of an EU bond?
Yeah, well, thanks to you guys in FISMA, we have dematerialized everything. So fortunately, those days are gone. But it isn't so long since it was.
You used to work for FISMA. Come on, man.
Right. I deny any responsibility. Our bonds are booked with Clearstream Luxembourg for the moment as our central securities depository, and in future we'll migrate some of that to the National Bank of Belgium. That's a project we're working on to lock in the Eurosystem, and European Central Bank as our settlement agents, fiscal agents, and so on and so forth. Everything is coded now, so the transfer of securities from one investor to another is done electronically, much more efficient, much safer. Can EU citizens buy these bonds, or can they break into a bank and steal them? Maybe they can do the latter, but our bonds are institutional only for a number of reasons. Initially, you know, the rates, they were negative rates. We couldn't be asking retail investors to kind of pay us to take our paper. We don't have the distribution capacity to deal with the retail market. So our access to the retail market is indirect through pension funds and asset managers.
Okay. This is probably going to be my last question, unless you've got something to add. Who's doing this? I mean, like, how big is the team? Where is it? Who are these people that are doing all of this EU bond stuff?
Yeah, it's 30 great people between here and Brussels, but mostly Luxembourg. Most of the colleagues do their day to day out of our office in Drosbach in Luxembourg. It's 30 full-time equivalents spread across the funding planning, the deal execution, the liquidity management, back office and settlement, and legal support. So it's, you know, this is the Ryanair of debt issuance programs compared to when we look at our national equivalents. We are doing this on a shoestring, but it's possible thanks to some really brilliant people, some of whom have come join us from member state institutions as national experts, but mostly our core staff. The Commission has been doing this for a while, so we've had a core team, supplemented now by a lot of new recruits and temporary agents from outside the Commission, bringing in the specialist skills we need from the private sector or other peer institutions. So it's not a whole bunch of people. Another thing that has made it possible to do this on a shoestring is the work with other EU institutions, ECB, as I said, managing our accounts, doing a super job as our fiscal paying agent, Banque de France running our auction platform for us, and in future, National Bank of Belgium, for example, helping being our central securities depository. So we've been able to get this buy-in from across the European public sector because everybody sees the collective interest in this program working for the benefit of the EU.
Yeah, I get it. But I mean, you've blown my mind with the number 30 people. I mean, the amount of money that the EU is raising through these bonds, and it's a team of 30 people doing it. Just, I mean, to toot the EU's horn, actually, I mean, that's amazingly efficient. And it's obviously very good money, very good value for money in the sense of such a small team doing so much. So Niall, thank you very much for coming and giving me this rundown about EU bonds. It was interesting, and now I definitely have a much better understanding of how it works. And I'm very happy to find out that it's 30 people, because that really is such a small number for so much work and so much value. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks on their behalf as well, Idis. Have a good day.
Well, that was easy. Turns out the EU hasn't invented the wheel. It has, like everything else it does, tweaked it and made it a little bit better. The European Commission is empowered by the EU treaties to borrow from the international capital markets on behalf of the European Union. It is a well-established name in debt securities markets with a very strong track record of successful bond issuance over the past 40 years. All EU bond issuances executed by the European Commission are exclusively in euro. We like our own currency. No surprise there. It may not be the sexiest product on the market, but it certainly represents a safe and stable investment. The EU uses bonds to fund EU policy programs, including the 800 plus billion Next Generation EU and the Commission Macrofinancial Assistance Plus program for Ukraine. These two programs represent the future, the green transition, and Ukraine's rebuilding after Russia's brutal attack on Ukraine and by proxy on Europe and the West. These bonds represent safe investments for countless investors and money for programs that the EU is proud of. This is the real deal, real money, real investments for the future. It's big. It's something that the EU can be proud of, and it's something the EU has been doing well for the last 40 years and being politely quiet about it. Perhaps it's time it started tooting its own horn. That's it for today. As always, please let others know about this podcast. Like and subscribe. Until next time, bye.